Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Let me get my paperwork here. It is Tuesday, October 29th, 2019. We have 12 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have east winds 20 to 25 knots, becoming northeast 10 to 15 knots with gusts to 20 knots in the late evening. And wind waves from the east 4 feet high at 4 seconds apart and west swells 4 feet at 15 seconds. And we have a small craft advisory in effect through this evening. That means winds of 20 to 34 knots are possible. So you see, we reach up into that 20-knot range, and once you hit that, it triggers a small craft advisory. And what this means is that smaller vessels, including smaller fishing boats that are out there, it's just letting them know that the weather could be kind of difficult for them out there. And today we're going to continue, as Dylan said earlier, with my interview with Amanda Gladix. This is an interview that was inspired by a comment on a Facebook post that I made with a picture of a fishing boat that goes out into the Pacific and probably catches tuna. And the topic of longlining came up during this Facebook post, and the fact that longlining can be a destructive fishing practice. And so I thought, you know, I realized that I really didn't know a whole lot about that, about this. And so that's why I am doing this interview, did this interview with Amanda, because she can really explain to us the very significant differences between the way fish are caught here in U.S. territorial waters and in international waters where a lot of illegal fishing goes on in certain parts of the world. So, but first of all, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule. We have 4 inbounders, 7 in our Astoria anchorage, and only 1 outbounder so far today. The Kurupi is arriving from Japan, headed for Astoria's anchorage. She's picking up potash at the Port of Portland eventually. She probably arrived in the anchorage about 3:30 this morning. The Issel Confidence is arriving from San Francisco, headed for Longview's anchorage. She's going to Longview to pick up petcoke, and she will pass Astoria around 1:30 p.m. and arrive in Longview around 5 p.m. The Diamond Stars is arriving from South Korea, headed for the Vancouver anchorage. She is going to be going to the Port of Portland to pick up soda ash. She will pass Astoria around 10:30 a.m. You might see her in Vancouver by about 4:30 p.m. The Asian Glory is arriving from Tacoma, headed for Portland. Hyundais are her cargo. She's a car carrier. She'll pass Astoria around 11:30 p.m. and arrive in Portland probably around 5:30 a.m. on Wednesday. And those car carriers have a very short turnaround time. So here you have people traveling all night. They'll get into Portland. They'll unload all those cars, and probably in less than 24 hours, they will turn around and head back out on the river. So people on car carriers don't have very much time in port to take a breath before they have to leave. And the people on the ship are still working while they're in port. Maybe not as much as while they are out in sea, but certainly the captain is very busy and the officers are very busy with shoreside things that they have to do with people who come aboard the ship. So car carriers are on a really tight schedule. In our Astoria anchorages, we have the Meddy Newport heading from the Rice Island anchorage to Longview. She's picking up wheat, leaving around noontime. Should be in Longview by about 3:30 p.m. The Genco Provence is headed for Portland to pick up wheat, leaving around 8 p.m., probably arriving on the Willamette River in Portland by about 3:30 p.m. That leaves the Pictor, the Sage Danube, the Wise Young, the Chola Virtue, and the Alpha Loyalty all awaiting orders offshore in the Astoria anchorage. And our outbounders, the Frisiana, is leaving Longview with logs on board. She's going to leave her at 6 p.m., passing Astoria outbound about 9:30 p.m. Well, today, so we're going to talk about this practice of longlining. I've been reading a really interesting book that I mentioned in yesterday's ship report. It's called The Outlaw Ocean by Ian Urbina. He's a New York Times investigative reporter. And it's all about illegal fishing, which is a pretty horrible situation. The people on board are pretty much kept as slaves on these ships. They're away for months, and they go down into places like the waters off Antarctica and carry drag nets that are many, many miles long through the ocean there. And so that is really seriously destructive fishing. But that's not what we're talking about here today. So today, Amanda Gladix is going to tell us about longlining.
What you, the designation of a longliner, it's a different style of fishing. So on our coastline, the longlining that we do is called demersal longlining. And what that means is that the hooks on that long line are down on the bottom. They're not up in the water column. When they're fishing, they're down on the bottom of the ocean. So we're actually not fishing for tuna using that strategy off of our coast. There are places in the world where they do use long lining to catch tuna, and that's generally offshore, international. You'll sometimes, we also have a pelagic long lining in Hawaii. So pelagic just means it's up in the water column. So one of the challenges in international waters is enforcement of fisheries regulations, right? For the fishermen that are working off our coast, it's a highly managed, highly regulated fishery. So the amount of fish that fishermen are allowed to catch is set by scientists that study the populations of those fish. We have strong enforcement mechanisms in place so that the rules that are set by the fisheries management entities are followed. So it's a really, really different picture than international fisheries. And a big piece of that is strong management structures that are in place to ensure that our populations of fish are healthy that we're fishing on.
And that was Amanda Gladix. She is a Fisheries Extension faculty member with Oregon Sea Grant and is based at the OSU Extension Office here in Astoria. You may have met her if you've gone on any of the CLATSA fisheries tours. She studies interactions between wildlife and fisheries and does public education about seafood and fisheries. So, you know, why is it important to know the difference between longlining in our waters and longlining elsewhere? Well, because the fishing is very carefully regulated here, as she mentioned. And so, you know, it's just another, as I said yesterday, it's another reason to, when you can, buy local from local people here who have caught fishing or fishing sustainably. Fishing is quite regulated here. There are quotas, and the fish that are caught in our waters here by our fishermen are sustainably harvested. So we'll hear more tomorrow from Amanda about fisheries and fishing practices. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.